Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and this is a special episode, our first Superman special. We're not talking about Smallville this week, although Batman v Superman had some Smallville in it, which I'm looking forward to talking about, literally ripping off scenes. But hey, we're not here to talk about Smallville. We're here to talk about Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. It's finally here. I feel like I've been waiting for this movie longer than I was waiting for Episode 7. It's just in production for 3 years, and well, it's here. You know, the speculation is over. We've had months and years of rumors and plot leaks and speculation and articles about 10 reasons why this will suck or 10 reasons why it won't suck, and it's here. So I am happy to be joined by a panel of my friends who like Batman and Superman. First off, we got Lance Laster. He's been on a few episodes. He was on our last episode and our first episode. So Lance, welcome back.
What's up?
Also, we have Mike Krause. He's been on a couple episodes himself. What's up, Krause?
Thank you for having me.
And for the first time, and probably the only time until season 8, when Doomsday shows up, I think that's when you told me you could spare me a couple hours, DeMonte. Our friend Mike DeMonte, what's up, DeMonte?
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, in order to discuss Batman v Superman, we kind of have to discuss Man of Steel just a bit, because that's going to inform where we're all coming from on this. We all had very different opinions about Man of Steel. It's actually funny, I knew me and DeMonte used to write together in college in the newspaper, and we kind of reconnected as friends when Man of Steel came out because we were talking about it. So that kind of brought us back together as friends, ironically. But so Man of Steel came out in 2013, which was 3 years ago, guys.
Wow.
So what did you guys think about Man of Steel? Now, I'll go ahead and start us off. I liked Man of Steel. I did not love it. I understood the criticisms, but I thought, you know what, people are just being haters. I thought it was fine. For a reintroduction of Superman, I thought it was fine. Sure, I would have done things a little differently, and I wanted to love it. And it, like, right when I saw it, I was, like, hyped up on it. I was like, oh, man, this is awesome. But Superman's back. I can't wait for the sequel, which is going to have Batman and the Justice League in it. I didn't know that at the time. But I liked it. I like Henry Cavill as Superman. I thought they had a great cast going into this. And I look forward to the continuing adventures of this new Superman and launching the DC Cinematic Universe. So that's what I thought about Man of Steel. And I had high hopes for Batman v Superman because I just figured it'd be more of the same. So, Lance, what did you think of Man of Steel?
I liked it. I liked – I think the biggest reason why I liked it as much as I came to like it was because it was not Superman Returns, which is funny because, like, when Superman Returns came out, like, initially I liked it. But then I saw it again, and it didn't hold up. And then so when I and the whole thing with the kid just really pissed me off. So when Man of Steel came out, I was all in with the cast. I was all in with Cavill, and when I saw it, I really liked it. And then I saw it again, and it held up still. And I kind of liked the different direction, and I liked the different type of Superman that we got in it. So I didn't necessarily mind it, and I thought a lot of the people and their disdain for it, I thought it was just kind of reaching. And they're just kind of sipping on a little too much haterade.
So speaking of the haterade, Krause, what did you think of Man of Steel?
I did not like Man of Steel for the most part. There were elements of it that I certainly liked. I thought Henry Cavill was perfectly cast. I liked that they brought back a lot more of the sci-fi elements to Superman, and we actually got to see Krypton. I did not like certain dead ends with the plot, like the Codex, and I certainly did not like the destruction porn spectacular. destruction porn, I'll leave it at that. At the end of the movie, I did not like that.
That's a good point about seeing Krypton in the sci-fi cross. I really liked that because it was a new take on Krypton, and that's why I liked it a lot. Because I love the Richard Donner movies. I love Christopher Reeve. I love all that. But we got to move past that, right? We can't be living in the 70s and having this crystalline Krypton forever.
Yeah.
Which is part of Superman Returns' problem.
Don't you mean Krypton?
Yeah, the planet Krypton. You know, Man of Steel, like you say, Lance, it was not Superman Returns. You know, I feel like they're like on opposite ends of the Superman spectrum. Like, it was a worse – in all the areas Superman Returns is strong, Man of Steel is weak. In all the areas Man of Steel is strong, Superman Returns is weak. So those are great points, guys. So, DeMonte, what did you think about Man of Steel?
I mean, overall, I didn't like it because I don't think it lived up to the expectations considering how epic all the trailers were. I did like Cavill. I thought he was perfect, absolutely perfect in the role. I did like the sci-fi aspect, and I like the whole alien aspect too, that they actually looking at him as an alien, which was really cool. Yeah, I just think overall there's a lot of kind of shoving, trying to shove things down the audience's throat. And just kind of like we get it. We get the ideals. You know, we get that, you know, Superman, you know, it's a different Superman, a different world. Everything has consequences. We get it. But, you know, the fact that, you know, for like the perfect example for me is like when he can't save Papa Kent, where he's like, no, son, they must not know. After they already spent like five other flashback scenes explaining that. And it was stuff like that that kind of really made me sour on the film overall. But I didn't mind the darker tone. I didn't mind that.
Would you prefer Jonathan Kent die from a heart attack like he does in every other version of Superman?
Well, yeah, just because I felt like, I mean, like I think Man of Steel 2, I think there's too many cooks in the kitchen. You know, I think you had David Goyer, Christopher Nolan, and Zack Snyder's all visions all kind of clashing.
I would agree with that, yeah. Well, and that's...
I think that was its main fault. I don't think it's a bad movie, but I didn't really necessarily enjoy it.
I see. Yeah, and I understand why you guys are critical of it. Like I said, it's nowhere near my top 10, even now as a Superman fan. That's hard to say, but it's just not. And you know, talking about all the different points of view on it, you know, the very controversial ending, of course, with all the destruction, and then Superman killing Zod. That's like your 1-2 punch of controversy right there. To you guys' point, like Christopher Nolan didn't want to do that, but Zack Snyder and David Goyer did. And they pretty much convinced Nolan, like, oh, no, we really need this ending where Superman and Zod fight, and he has to kill him. Although, without that, I feel like the movie would have been kind of an anti-climax, right? Everything gets sucked back into the Phantom Zone. You know what I mean? Like, what do you do? So, it's tough. But, so there we are. That's where we're all coming from as far as Man of Steel goes. And this is the sequel to Man of Steel. Believe it or not. So real brief, we're going to have a roundtable discussion here where it's just open forum, but real brief, let's go around and we'll say, because we, you know, we haven't really talked about this. We've shared some vague thoughts back and forth on social media. Now, Krause and DeMonte saw it together on an early screening because they went to, you guys paid to go see the IMAX trailer like a few months ago, right?
Actually, we didn't pay.
Oh, it's free? Son of a...
But that was almost a year ago. I think it was last April.
April.
Yeah, when the movie was originally supposed to come out. Yeah. So, wow, okay, that's cool. So you guys showed up, and then as like a surprise, you got free tickets to see the movie early, right?
We did.
So that's
cool. Yeah, they let us know like a week before. Hey, by the way, I get to see this movie this day.
That's awesome. And we all got some cool posters out of it, or at least I did. Thanks, sure. Monte. I got the Superman poster. So Lance and I saw it last night for the first time the general public could see it. So pairs of us have each talked about it, obviously, because we saw it together, but this is our first time really talking about it as a group, so this should be fun.
I also saw it again this morning, so it's fresh.
So you've seen it twice. Fresh. Yeah. You know where it's not fresh? On Rotten Tomatoes. You know, I don't give Rotten Tomatoes a lot of credence. I find it really annoying. People are like, it's certified flesh.
I can't stand Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I never pay it any mind.
Just a couple years ago, they started incorporating it like in advertisements. Like, I saw a trailer. It's like a commercial for Mission Impossible 5. And it was like, certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, wow, this is part of, like, advertising techniques now? Like, I don't know. There's something to be said for it. But, like, any gauge, like IMDb ratings. We were talking about that in an episode of this podcast earlier. They're so out of whack. So I feel like, but people, so many people, for whatever reason, take it very seriously. And right now, Batman v Superman is sitting at like 30% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Like, it's insane. That's insane. I think Man of Steel was like 57%.
It was definitely higher.
Yeah, and then I believe Superman Returns is like 75%. So,
wow.
But we were all drinking the Superman Returns Kool-Aid back in the day.
We were.
Okay. That is true.
Well, let's talk about Batman v Superman. So we'll go around again. We'll same order. I'll go first. Spoilers, right? Spoiler alert. We're gonna talk spoilers. It's gonna get real here. I had high hopes for this movie, and I was very excited about it, and I was really on board with it. When it started, like, I love the opening. The Batman opening was genius.
You leaned over to me and yeah. You were like, I love this movie.
Yeah. It was right with the whole cold open with Batman and then Bruce Wayne seeing the destruction of Metropolis from his point of view, like the prologue, if you will, to the movie. I thought that was a brilliant way to reintroduce Batman, but not kind of go through all the origin again. There's kind of like the Incredible Hulk, reintroduced the Incredible Hulk in the Edward Norton film, just used it in the opening credits. I thought that was great. And that's actually, I think that's my favorite, like, live-action version of Batman's origin right there. I'm not sure where the movie lost me. It did lose me at some point. I was along with it. I was, you know, Eisenberg as Lex was my biggest concern. I didn't hate him. I didn't love him. You know, I don't agree with the characterization they chose to confused with him, but I do think it's a valid characterization. Like, I don't think this isn't Lex Luthor. This is ridiculous. Like, he's more Lex Luthor than Gene Hackman or Kevin Spacey were, for sure. Wonder Woman was excellent. I love Wonder Woman. I had no expectation for her. She was great. Ben Affleck is Batman. Like, I'm so excited for to see, because you know it's coming, Ben Affleck's solo movie is Batman, because the whole world of Batman here was excellent. Like, I love this world of Batman. It's like the best live action version of Batman, the whole universe that we've seen. Notice I haven't mentioned anything about Superman yet. I don't know what they were. Okay, why did we cram the death of Superman into this movie? I don't think we needed to do that. Mm-hmm. And Doomsday, I feel like we kind of skipped some steps there. Like, Lex goes in there to the ship, and then he builds Doomsday. How did he really know about that? Where did that come from? Like, what was his intention? Like, I just feel like there was a lot, and it's been documented that there was a lot more shot to this movie, and there'll be an extended cut and all that. And you could see it. Like, man, these scenes are really short. Like I feel like a lot is missing here. So yeah, I didn't like Doomsday. I didn't like the setup of Batman and Superman's fight. It was building toward this ideological battle with, like, they're gonna have to confront each other. But then it ultimately became, hey, I kidnapped your mom, so you have to kill Batman or I'm gonna kill your mom. Like, wow, that's what it came down to. So I was disappointed in that. And then yeah, just the end, like we know Superman's coming back. Why even kill him off in this way? Why shoehorn what could have been, like, a great Superman trilogy of movies into, like, the last third of this movie? So ultimately, where it lost me was when we took 5 minutes for Wonder Woman to watch viral marketing materials for the Justice League movie.
I like that part.
That was, of course she did. That was like, I was like, this is, no. Ah, man, it's tough. I'm still forming my opinion, so hopefully throughout this conversation I can have a better formed opinion. So those are my first impressions of the film. So, Lance, on to you.
I liked it. I can see why some people who had a problem with the movie in the reviews and some of, like, justified negativity that they might have toward the movie is there. This is not, like, the people who are just, like, just hating it just to hate it. It was like, oh, I hate Ben Affleck, so, you know, screw this movie. Like, I'm not talking about them. But, like, the people who have, like, some legit concerns, I can see that. But I liked it. And I think the thing that really, like, makes me like the movie as much as I do is that there's a lot of really good vignettes in this. I think the one thing that makes this movie kind of incomplete to me is the fact that it's not a real complete, like, story. Like, it's just a bunch of different vignettes pieced together. There's not a real central through line because it kind of jumps from place to place to place to place. Like, yeah. Structurally, like, it kind of seems out of whack. There's definitely a beginning. The prologue is amazing. There's definitely an end. But, like, all the stuff that leads up to it is just kind of like, I don't know if it's out of order or the pace was wrong getting from one thing to another, but something's kind of off there. There, the things in the middle, like, even though they were kind of off and they don't necessarily, I don't think they fit together as well as they could have, I like them, but I think they could have done a better job of kind of, like, fixing that to where the whole cohesive unit makes sense.
All right, Krause, your turn.
I generally, for the most part, liked it. Okay. I certainly liked it more than Man of Steel. I feel like it's two different movies kind of pasted together.
At least, right?
And maybe, yeah, at least.
Probably maybe that, four, maybe five.
I wonder how much of that comes down to the fact that David Goyer wrote the first draft of this and then Chris Terrio was brought in to redo it. So basically, I loved it. I really loved the beginning. Mm-hmm. I love Ben Affleck's portrayal of Batman. I thought they nailed that other than him killing people, but we can get that later. I really liked it, especially the courtroom scene, the Capitol. I really liked that scene. I thought that was perfectly done. It was very suspenseful. And I even liked the showdown with Batman and Superman up until right after the whole Martha thing, which I actually thought the Martha, Batman discovering that his mom's name is Martha too, and if he kills him, a parent's going to be without their child, similar to how a child was without his parents. So I like that they kind of tied that in together. Pretty much after that, I did not like it. I didn't like anything that they did with Doomsday. I thought it was unnecessary. They should have, like I said before, they should have saved Death of Superman for a completely different movie further down the line. I really did not like Jesse Eisenberg. I thought I had no problem with the way the character was wrote, but I or written. I just have a problem with how it was portrayed. And I don't know if that's his fault or Snyder's fault, but I certainly didn't like it.
Snyder's
and
fault that, for casting him.
Yeah, probably. But that's my brief summary of my opinion of it.
All righty, Demonte. What about you, buddy? I feel like you're going to be the champion of this movie. You're going to be the flaming fanboy here. So.
Yeah, no, I loved it. What I liked the most is I liked the themes it explored, mythology, religion, politics, and how it weaved it into a superhero movie. And after seeing it again, the symbolism is stronger. And I think a lot of the critics, like, they get it, but they don't appreciate it of how genius it is, especially if they haven't grown up on comics and how they were able to mold that together so well in the universe they're creating. I thought that was awesome because I'm really into that stuff. So that hit, that was definitely a positive for me. And like I said, when I saw it a second time, I kind of noticed it more as well. I was initially against when they cast Ben Affleck, and I was wrong.
You were the only one out of all of us, by the way.
No, I mean, I think it's probably been like the best Batman we've seen on film. The fighting scenes are awesome.
No question.
He's brutal. I still think Batman Begins is probably the definitive Batman film in terms of, you know, nailing everything. But the character itself, I thought this Batman was great. His Bruce Wayne was awesome. He was smug. He had like this, like, baller, like, you know what I mean? Like this baller status to him.
We got to see all facets of the Bruce Wayne character.
Yeah, exactly. I liked Jesse Eisenberg even when he was cast. I thought sometimes, at times in the movie, he was a little overdoing it a little bit.
That's Jesse Eisenberg. He overdoes everything.
Well, no, I just think, yeah, a few times he kind of overdid it, but for the most part, I liked the take on the character. It's the most devious Lex Luthor we've seen in any film. And there's a lot of times where he's on screen where you feel uncomfortable. Like, if you're in the room with that guy, he's so socially awkward. You know what I mean?
Network awkward.
Oh, I would like to see more of his backstory. Like, we kind of get it. All right, cool. We know why he's doing what he's doing, but what pushed him there? And maybe less Lois. Yeah, I think there's a lot a little too much Lois in
there. I agree. I agree with you.
I liked all the Justice League Easter eggs.
You like that? Come on.
Yeah.
I
like the fact that he's been studying metahumans this whole time.
I like that Lex was, yeah. But I hate, seriously, Wonder Woman, she watches what's going to be viral marketing material for the Justice League movie. Like, oh, look at the Flash. He's buying some milk, and he stopped the robbery. And, oh, Aquaman coming out and stabbing a little drone was hilarious to me. It was
So
the cyborg one was the worst. But
oh, yeah. Cyborg one. All right, everybody stop. Everybody stop. In this very podcast, not two episodes ago, I was talking about how Joe Morton is in all these things as crazy scientist. Guy. And yet, Terminator 2. He's in Terminator 2. He's in Smallville. He's in this ridiculous movie, Stealth, from the mid-2000s. And then he's in Eureka, that sci-fi show. And here he is showing up 2 weeks after I'm talking about on this very podcast. It's Joe Morton being a scientist dealing with cybernetics.
He's Dr. Stone. Keep getting them checks, Joe Morton.
So, and you know we're going to see him? We're going to see him in the Cyborg movie. We'll see him in the Justice League movie, I'm sure, because he's Cyborg's dad and he plays an important role. Yep. And I guess that was a Mother Box, right? Because that's the New 52 origin of him. Those, I don't know, those you could maybe convince me they were okay. But the whole time-traveling Flash creates some kind of vision that Bruce Wayne sort of remembers. I felt like that was so contrived just to have that one doomsday apocalypse sequence in there. You know?
I agree. Like, it was cool to watch, but I felt like it really didn't.
It was unnecessary.
It was unnecessary, yeah. The part, I'm kind of like Krauss, towards the third act, you know, when doomsday was introduced. That's when it kind of got drawn out.
Yeah. Well, so much is happening. Like, we're shooting nuclear missiles at him and all this stuff. Yeah. So.
And Lois is drowning.
As far as cramming the death of Superman in there, I thought it was kind of ballsy. And it kind of fit with the religious symbolism of him, you know, once again, they kind of portray him as Jesus. You know, he died, you know, saving us. And obviously, he's going to rise. But
they already did that. They already did that in Superman Returns.
No, we're talking about Superman Returns.
they made so many. Actually, we have to talk about it for a second because they replicated a few things in Superman Returns that I thought we all understood, like, you shouldn't do that. Like, Superman using kryptonite at the end of the movie to defeat Doomsday is just like him lifting the kryptonite continent into space. Yeah. It's like, no, he cannot function around kryptonite. What don't you understand about this? I don't get why they think they're so clever having Superman use kryptonite as a tool or being able to his super willpower or whatever. Yeah, like, it's not how it works.
I think it was ballsy, like having him die in the end. Because obviously he's coming back. He's not going to stay dead.
Yo, well, then why kill him off? Like, okay, there's.
Well, I think it still goes with the themes of mythology, religion. I still think it all ties into that.
Lance said something earlier about Batman that it showed all the facets of Batman, and that's why this is probably the best performance of Batman.
Live action.
I feel like we still haven't seen in the Superman. The Clark in this movie is the same Clark from Man of Steel. We have yet to see Office Clark, the Clark hiding from the public. We have yet to really see a humanity, I shouldn't say humanity aspect to him, but I feel like there's still a lot of character development to Clark that we haven't seen enough to justify killing him off.
Clark is pretty one note in this.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill's Clark is like the George Reeves Clark from the old 50s, The Adventures of Superman. Like, there is no difference between Clark and Superman. Just like, I'm Clark Kent. And that's cool. I like that Clark's not a complete pushover like Christopher Reeve. Like, that was fine for that interpretation. But I like more kind of like the animated series Clark, you know, where he's not just a pushover, but he's not, oh, look, that's Superman. They've switched the hairdo. Like, Clark Kent now has the Superman hairdo, and Superman has, like, the greased down hairdo. I mean, that's the only real difference, but I mean, I feel like they've kind of given up on the secret identity thing at this point, especially now that Clark Kent and Superman are dead at the same time. They're gonna, like, there's too many characters. Honestly,
don't get me started
to your point, Cross. Yes, that's an excellent point. I feel like everybody loves Batman, and never everybody loves Superman. So they figured, okay, you know what? Everybody loves Batman. This is Batman focused, and they did a great job with all the Batman stuff. You know, I love all the Batman stuff in this film, but you're right. Superman suffers from it because he's not. There's so much more to Superman than what we've been presented in these two films.
I agree. Yeah, I think like when they do the montage of him.
Do the montage.
I agree. There should be more Superman. I thought that was a really cool scene.
That was cool, but I thought, you know, when you see those in the trailers, I'm like, oh, cool. We're gonna see Superman do stuff that's gonna tie into the plot. No, it might as well have just inserted the trailer there because it was just random shots, and then the whole news reporters like Charlie Rose and all those guys and Neil deGrasse Tyson and.
Can I bring up one thing that Krause said?
Oh, yeah. So we're in, like, open discussion now. So let's openly discuss. Go ahead.
Okay, I actually researched this, and I got Snyder's actual quote on it. So me and Krause were debating. Krause was like, man, Batman's killing a lot. And I said, no, you really don't see him kill anyone. You don't see him...
He's just choosing not to save them, DeMonte. I think that's what he's doing.
With the bullets going through their vehicles, blowing them up.
Well, yeah, okay, so I read what Snyder said on it. He said basically what I thought. It's like applied, right? It's like there's explosions that happen, right? There's car chases where, you know, cars are getting hit. You don't know what happens to the guy.
Blown up.
Okay, but apparently, according, like, Snyder even said this. He says during the Nolan films, there's 42, quote-unquote, perceived Batman kills, right? And he says he looks at it this way. Like, Batman's not killing people in the sense where he's murdering them. It's almost like vehicular manslaughter. It's like, oops.
Oh, well, that's fine then.
Yeah, no, not that. Not that. It's bad. He's like, okay, the bad guy has a grenade. He knocks the guy, and the grenade falls, and the guy dies. Does that mean Batman initially?
But you guys hate Man of Steel because Superman caused all this destruction. Okay, I mean, Batman is.
This movie makes Man of Steel more necessary.
Okay, talk about that. What has this improved your opinion of Man of Steel then?
I think it makes it more necessary. It makes sense, kind of what they did.
Because it set up the story here. Now, I don't think this was intentional. I think this is clearly a reaction. Because there are several times in the movie, like, oh, it's Anderson Cooper. He's like, well, it's a good thing the workday is over. No one's downtown right now.
Yeah.
Like, and thank God Doomsday landed on Stryker's Island. No one lives there. Thank God. It's like, it's just like the Avengers and Ultron. They're like, make sure every civilian is off the island. It's like, we get it.
It's just interesting that there's this call to arms about paying attention to, you know, extra destruction that's going on in these movies and different property damages and stuff. It's not like this is the first, you know, movie that's had, you know, significant property damage done to the city, but this is just the first time that people are like, I don't know, calling into question about it. I think maybe because it's superheroes and there's like, well, the superheroes to try to prevent it. But I think it was just kind of like a necessary like side effect of what they were doing. They are trying to prevent, you know, lives from being lost. But like when they're fighting against somebody that can knock down stuff's going to get knocked down. It's just interesting that like now there's like it's a distraction to the movie when like you have Anderson Cooper literally being like, well, thank God he's, you know, nobody was hurt in the fighting of this fight. And so like I can only imagine like when more movies come out, it's just now going to become a trope. I'm sure it's going to be mentioned like in Ghostbusters. It's going to be it's a it's a topic of focus in the next Avengers movie, because you can see it in the trailer of, you know, General Ross showing all the collateral damage that they've caused. And what I'm really most excited for, I mean, this is a little off topic, but it's still related, is, you know, like when they do the you know, like the new Power Rangers movie, there's more collateral damage in that show, in that concept of Power Rangers, than anything else. And like, it's probably gonna be like way overkill with how they describe like how they're, you know, how people aren't in those buildings.
It's like, it's like Godzilla as well. You know, same thing. Same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
There was even more in that.
Did you guys also notice when Batman has Doomsday follow him, Wonder Woman is like, "Why'd you bring him to the city?" And he's like, "Don't worry, this is an abandoned."
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's an abandoned port.
That's exactly. So do you guys think I'm being too hard on it? I mean, I don't know. I feel like.
No, I don't.
All your concerns are justified. My beef is with so many of the reviewers out there. I mean, actually, a lot of them are just being negative for the sake of being negative, I think. And I've read a ton of reviews, and one of them was like, it's boring, but then there's too much action. It's like, wait, what? You can't have both.
Yeah.
And I just think they're being overly critical. I mean, I know not every movie could be a bunch of wisecracking superheroes fighting robots, and it's a happy ending.
Language!
What'd I say?
You said wisecracking.
No, but it's... That's what Captain America says in Age of Ultron. Get with it.
Oh, okay. No, but like, I just think that criticism is really unfair.
I say.
I agree with you on that aspect. On that point, because I think one of the things this movie suffers from is the general Marvel versus DC thing. And a lot of the people who defend, you know, Marvel, like, I think a lot of them are still stuck in 2010. Up until, like, you know, at that point, like, Marvel was rolling. DC wasn't really countering with anything. And up until they made the first Avengers, everything a part of their plan worked perfectly. And then everything afterwards has not. But people don't really realize that. They're just stuck, you know, thinking about 2010 to about 2012 when their risk paid off.
Yeah, you got to give this to DC though. Like, whenever they come out with a movie, it is controversial and people are talking about it. People are passionate about it. Like Marvel, like the Thor 2 and Age of Ultron and Ant-Man, it comes and goes and whatever. Yeah,
no, but that doesn't matter.
But it's like, oh my god, DC! The internet just explodes.
It's a shame because so many people, because like, all right, well, let's be honest, the majority of Americans are stupid, right? Majority of people are dumb. No offense, people. But like, people are preforming their opinions of the movie before they even see it based on their views. I've had friends say, "Oh well, all these websites are say it's trash, so it's probably trash." And it's like, yo, man, form your own opinion. Go see it for yourself.
Those critics might be on Disney's payroll.
Yeah,
they might be.
Were you gonna say something, Cross?
Yeah, I've got a question about the end. I had a problem with it, but maybe you guys can talk me out of it. When Superman dies, there's two separate funerals.
Mm.
One has Clark's body in it, and the other one, I assume, is empty.
Yeah, I had to assume the same, which is just odd.
How do they know Superman's dead?
Exactly.
Batman probably intervened.
Oh, Lois Lane was there, so she told him. Because she's everywhere. Lois, to your point, DeMonte, she is showing up all over the place, like just in the middle of trouble, and it's like, less Lois, please.
And once again, for someone who works in journalism, it's pretty unrealistic the fact that the Daily Planet, a local paper, flies her all over the world.
Well, Perry told her to get Coach, okay? Yeah. By the way, I love Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White. Like, I think he might be my favorite Perry White. Like, my biggest laugh in the movie was he's looking for Clark, and Clark's gone. He says, where does he go? And that's the kind of stuff I want to see in a Superman movie, which we're never going to get to see. You know, you guys are talking. I'm gonna read this quote real quick from your boy David Goyer. So this is an interview. Shout out to my friend Jimmy from the Fortress of Solitude. He brought this interview to my attention, and it's David Goyer talking about Batman versus Superman. Okay, if you guys remember back in the early 2000s, both franchises were in limbo and they didn't know what to do. And one of the proposed ideas was a Batman versus Superman movie. This is what David Goyer had to say about Batman versus Superman. Batman vs. Superman is where you go when you admit to yourself that you've exhausted all possibilities. It's like Frankenstein meets the Wolfman or Freddy vs. Jason. It's somewhat of an admission that this franchise is on its last gasp. So how things change.
How things change.
Well, honestly, I think that there's a whole lot of truth to that because DC needed an answer for Marvel's whole plan. I think, though, that if they had somebody... you know, to advise them the way that a Marvel Studios advises Marvel.
It's a Kevin Feige, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think that things would have gone a lot differently and it would have worked in their favor. For instance, an actual sequel to Man of Steel where it focuses on Clark in the city of Metropolis and Superman, and then we can push on to the, you know, and we could have a lot of what we had in Batman versus Superman, because I thought that, like, you know, what they did with Bruce and interweaving him into stuff was great. I thought that, you know, his whole motivation for wanting to fight, you know, Clark was all justified, and from his point of view.
Yeah, and I was on Batman's side for a long time. Yeah.
But unfortunately, Superman's reason for fighting him was just kind of stupid.
Oh, well, so, you're gonna kill my mom if I don't kill you. So
granted, like, you know, we'd all do that for our moms, but still, it's,
well,
just like,
here's my problem with that. So he's like, you're gonna kill Martha too. He's like, why did you say that? Because it was obviously. That's the tie-in. You didn't realize it at the time, but Thomas Wayne's last words was Martha, and I like that a lot about the intro.
Yeah.
And that's like foreshadowing what's going to happen, and that's cool. It's a trigger. That's his mom's name. Why would Superman refer to his mom as Martha when he's talking to Batman? Like,
I don't know.
Who would do that? Like, oh, you're going to kill my mom, or you're going to kill Martha. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. That makes sense to you guys?
Well, maybe
I can give it a pass.
Or maybe I'll give it a pass, assuming that Bruce doesn't die. Maybe he's just assuming that Bruce doesn't know his identity. He's like, they're going to kill Martha. Maybe that would have
gotten... Trying to say Martha Kent or something? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Well, okay, maybe so. But, okay, so when did Superman find out that Batman was Bruce Wayne?
He probably just looked through his disguise and was just like, okay, whatever, and didn't say anything.
The earpiece scene also.
But that doesn't mean he's... Just because he's got a guidance ear doesn't mean he's Batman.
Well, and also, but half of his mask was... beaten off.
Well, he lands and he's like, Bruce, we need to talk. Like, that's a conversation you see in Justice League the animated series, because they know each other for years, right? They know each other's identities. But he's like, Bruce, we need to talk. See, here's the deal. When the people have secret identities, unlike the Marvel universe where no one has a secret identity, it's fun to explore what happens here, and there's suspense when, oh, is he gonna find out, like, Lex is getting closer to find out Clark's secret, or Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent figured out that they're each Superman and Batman.
Yeah.
There was none of that. They could have had some build up, because that's on two fronts. One, Superman finding out about Batman, and then I guess after Lois came and saved Superman, they had a conversation. Hey, I'm Clark Kent. My mom's Martha Kent. Blah 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 blah. They probably filled him in on the details. So that's its own thing. But then Lex Luthor knows that Clark Kent is Superman. Like, when did this occur?
And Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Did he know Bruce Wayne is Batman? Like, I didn't ever caught that. He knows Bruce Wayne is Batman. Why did you say that?
Because he's sending him the letters. Remember?
So.
You let your family die. He even says it on the roof to Superman.
No,
I don't think that implies.
But that doesn't imply anything about that he knows he's Batman.
Why would he send that to Bruce Wayne? What would Bruce Wayne do?
I guess a good point. So was Lex blocking those checks and sending them back to Bruce? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a problem with the whole reason that Superman was fighting Batman to begin with was that his mom was going to die. And Batman mentions her name, and they're like, all right, we're best buddies now. I got your back. I'll go save her. You go do this. And so that happens, but Batman never tells Superman he saved her. He just kind of shows up later.
Because he is on the radio when Lex tries to, like, when Superman shows up to Lex and he checks in to see if he killed Batman. Batman is the person that responds.
Yeah, yeah. He called the KGB beast.
KGB beast.
Yeah,
who's KGB on Arrow, beast. By the way. he was on Arrow in season 2, and he should be back because he has to teach Oliver Russian at some point.
Yep.
But let's not get into that.
But Luther calls.
Yes, Luther calls KG Batman Beast. Answers. Yeah, he calls KG Beast to kill Martha Kent. And
how does Superman know?
Because Batman picks up the phone and he says, "Oh, I'm gonna kill you," you know, or whatever. I don't know. I like the electronic voice changer. It's a nice compromise.
I thought it was brilliant how Batman agreed to save his mom and promised. And I think that was a really cool basis of kind of, you know, the fact that, you know, the trust, you know, they could trust.
Well, I love the line where he's like, I'm a friend of your son's. And she's like, oh, I figured. Like, that's funny. But it would be funny if not for 10 minutes before he was trying to kill Superman. That's a great line for an episode of Justice League. And this is what this felt like a live action version of Justice League, which I like. But I feel like nothing in this movie was earned. Nothing was earned.
Not the Batman stuff, but yeah.
Well, again, that's why they needed another movie before this. They needed a Superman movie before this.
Well, I thought they needed a Batman movie and a Superman movie, but the way they did this movie convinced me we didn't need a Batman movie. Like, I got all I needed
from
Batman.
We needed the Superman one, though.
Now, I do think the Affleck solo movie will be a prequel. I really do think so. It'll probably be about the death of Robin or something like that. Because we still don't know which Robin is dead.
Yeah.
So, hey, do you guys – I didn't read these. I have not read any reviews or watched any videos. I want to just go in here fresh-minded to talk to you guys about this. What's the deal with Jenna Malone? Who is she supposed to be in this movie?
It's going to be in the bonus clip, but it's not supposed to be Batgirl.
Is it Carrie Kelly? Robin?
No. I don't, who knows?
Okay.
That's a good question. I can't think of anyone.
Interesting. Not Batgirl.
Bruce did mention that he's known some interesting women. He did mention that.
And I love the whole Bruce Wayne Wonder Woman dynamic. I guess we all feared that they might have known each other before, but obviously he just met her here.
But she was great. She was great. Yeah, like, all the Wonder Woman stuff. Like,
Gal Gadot was excellent. Excellent. Like when she's fighting Doomsday, you can tell like she's really enjoying it. Oh, she had the most badass line in the movie, right? Like, I've killed things from other worlds before. I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
I want to see. Forget Superman. I want to see a Batman Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah, but no. She was great. Wonder Woman. All of her stuff in here was great. Especially her fighting Doomsday was really good.
Absolutely.
Her chemistry too. Like her Bruce Wayne. They had really good chemistry. I thought.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So
I do like how it's going to be them who get the band together.
Speaking of which, I was reading an interview with Zack Snyder today recently saying. He's comparing Justice League to be like Seven Samurais, where Bruce Wayne is going to be the one seeking out the metahumans to form the group, which is hinted at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
when he says something like they're going to need to fight, you know, just
because he has a vague memory of that time travel vision or something.
True, and then also though with Lex Luthor too, you know, he alludes to
he knows about the Apocalypse, yeah.
The bell has been rung, or whatever it is.
Ring, 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 ring. Oh, God.
Well, no, if you remember when he's in the ship, Krypton is telling him all this history about not just Krypton, but other planets as well.
Yeah.
And then they have the scene with him in the cell saying the bell's been rung. Yeah, and then
yeah, he turned the painting upside down. It's the parademons you see. I mean, the parademons look pretty cool. I am looking forward to that. That because obviously, I don't know if they're going to do it. Because, well, they love making Superman the villain, so I'm sure they'll have Darkseid take control of Superman just like they did in the animated series. And,
yeah.
And we'll never see a Superman. I don't think we're ever going to get Superman sequel, Krause. I don't think we're
No.
But you know what? If Superman has to be the sacrificial lamb for this DC universe, that's fine. Because you know what? I am excited about Wonder Woman. I'm excited about Suicide Squad. I'm excited to see a Ben Affleck Batman movie. So even though I'm not the biggest fan of this particular movie, I'm excited about the universe, you know?
But it's still unfortunate because a lot of the things that they raised in this movie would be great Man of Steel sequels, even though they kind of addressed a lot of the concerns that they had toward the end of it, like the whole meeting at the Capitol. And like, you know, like her question of like, should there be a Superman and all those interviews and stuff, like all of that would be perfect material for a standalone Superman too.
Well, that's why they can never go back because he just fought Doomsday and died. So you can't, how do you stop that? Yeah.
Because the thing is, and I get it because up until this point, Superman was not really viewed as, you know, the world's hero, the way that we already know that he is, and the way that, like, you know, he has been.
Well, I love that. I love that caption. Like how in this,
he had to earn it, and so like he's finally earned it, but he had to earn it through death.
The caption in the prologue that says "the world's introduction to the Superman," like that was a really cool way to frame it.
Yeah.
So I agree with you there.
It would have been nice to see him get his own due.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I don't think he earned his funeral in this movie. I mean, why would the people of Metropolis want to have a nice memorial for him?
Well, because he
sacrificed.
Because the truth came out about everything. Yeah. Also,
did it?
Well, Lex is in jail, so that had to be a reason for that.
Yeah. I guess they arrest Lex for what? How they have proof that he created Doomsday? You know what I mean?
Lex Luthor was arrested for the bombing of the Capitol.
Oh, that he was? Okay.
Yeah, because it shows a newspaper headline.
Yeah, so everything else probably came out of that because it was like the Doomsday stuff was created like after he got access to all that stuff. So who else?
But what did he do? He mixed his blood with General Zod and put it in the Genesis Chamber. I don't understand why that created Doomsday.
I don't either.
Mr. Answer Man. I will say, you know, the Capitol when the Capitol blew up, that was a whoa moment. Yeah, that was like, oh, yeah. Like I had a similar. I had a similar reaction in the first one when in Man of Steel when he snapped Zod's neck. I was like, "Whoa!" I had a similar reaction. So that was a really visceral, like hardcore. And Superman's there crying there. I mean, that was legit.
Yeah.
Man, that was good stuff. So you know, I want to mention this is a Smallville podcast, so I got to mention the two or three things that tie into Smallville. We already talked about Jim Morton. The other thing is
Pa Kent.
We see Clark walking. I guess he was going to go back to the fortress, by the way? Like,
this
is all deleted scenes material, I guess. He's wandering around. We see him pulling one of the Krypton ships in the Arctic as well.
No, I think that was just a regular ship.
Really? I would have sworn that was, like...
what I thought.
Because I was just like, what's a regular ship doing way up there? Like,
I really thought that was one of the, like, the Kryptonian mothership from the first one, and he was moving it to make the fortress somewhere. I don't know.
I thought about that after I realized. I was like, I think this is a regular ship. Well, why is he pulling it? And I was like, and where's like the actual original the Kryptonian scout ship?
Right.
Where's
right.
that?
Well, and why did they leave the ship in Metropolis for 2 years? That makes no sense. But anyway, contrivance to have Doomsday appear in Metropolis, right? So getting to Smallville here. So Clark is walking around in the wilderness and he sees his dad, a ghost of Jonathan Kent, and they have an inspiring conversation. This is
Smallville 101.
Verbatim, season 10, season premiere of Smallville, first episode Lazarus. Clark sees the ghost of Jonathan Kent and he has an inspiring conversation and kind of puts him back on the right path. I'm like, really? Like, we're lifting scenes from Smallville now for Batman v Superman.
Hey, they're always holding on to it, man.
Yeah, they should.
I thought it wasn't his ghost. I thought it was just kind of a figment of his imagination.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing in Smallville. It's not really explained. It's kind of like, I've never seen Dexter, but Dexter sees his dad, right?
Yeah. Or it's like Ra's al Ghul in Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, there you go. Another bad story to decision. I'm going to believe this lie that this ghost told me. It's going to surprise me at the end of the movie. So that was odd. And then, okay, literally shot for shot when Lex is getting his head shaved at the end, that is Lionel Luthor at the end of season 3 of Smallville, episode Covenant. Yeah. Like, it's he's in the
thought that too.
That was so, it was like exactly shot for shot. I was like, come on, man.
Yeah, the only thing that was missing was the Mozart Requiem.
Which would have been my side.
The music in this was fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I agree.
Yes, yes. I'm going to go buy that soundtrack for sure.
Especially, I really liked Wonder Woman.
That's like some, like, it sounded kind of like the Bane theme. It had a lot of drums, and there was like some awesome, like, electric guitar. It was so good.
It was very, very tribal.
Yeah, I loved it. And then also, I really liked the Batman theme here. It reminded me of Mask of the Phantasm, the Shirley Walker theme, where it's like building up, like, da-da-da-da. I like it a lot better than the previous Hans Zimmer Batman theme for the Nolan trilogy. I'll tell you that.
One?
Yeah. Da, da. Oh, no.
I like that.
Here comes Batman. I'm excited. The Superman theme, though, wasn't in the soundtrack. That was my only complaint.
It was.
No. Hold on. Yeah. The dun, dun.
It was slower.
Dun, dun. No, but the whole march, like, dun, dun. Like, why Superman is fighting Doomsday?
Is the theme. They're just doing it faster.
Well, look, I really wanted more of the Superman theme because I really like the Hans Zimmer Superman theme for Man of Steel. I just wanted more of it for a Superman movie, damn it. It's a Superman movie.
Why is he getting second billing, Zach?
he got third billing in Superman the movie. Have you guys seen the honest trailers for, have you guys watched those honest trailers for Superman the movie and Batman 89?
I've seen the Batman 89. I haven't watched the Superman one.
They're so good. Those might be their best honest trailers.
I agree. Spot on the Batman.
I just want angry internet bingo. Alfred was great. Jeremy Irons is now my favorite Alfred, by the way.
I thought he was his most hands-on Alfred we ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Straight out of the comics, right?
Yeah, pretty much. The dialogue was great.
Yeah, their back and forth was good. Like, I appreciated that because Alfred does do that.
Not having any kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I will forgive him not having a mustache. He was so good, so it's okay, Jeremy Irons.
Well, no, because he had some stubble and stuff.
Well, so did Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, ultimately, guys, I'm gonna have to see it again. I saw it last night, so I haven't seen it since. Definitely gonna see it again to kind of help form my thoughts.
Did you guys see it in IMAX?
No, just regular. I'll see it in IMAX this time.
I really liked seeing it in IMAX. I thought it was clearly shot with IMAX.
That's usually what I've been doing, like for like Force Awakens and stuff. Like if I'm on opening night and stuff, when it's gonna be crazy, I'll just see it normal.
Yeah.
And if I want to see it again, I'll pay the extra for the whole IMAX experience. So, and they have it in 2D, right? It's not, they don't make you watch in 3D.
Well, we saw it
good.
In 2D. I think they've got both.
All right, good. I'll look it up because I don't like 3D movies. That's just a waste of time.
I'm with you.
So yeah, so where do you guys want to see the story go from here? Obviously, they have to resurrect Superman, but I mean,
Batman's gonna put him in the Lazarus pit.
That's good.
I honestly don't. I just want to see a Batman movie now. I don't want to see.
You know what,
Cross?
I agree, man. Like, if Superman just stayed dead, I'd be like, okay. That's a terrible. And we're Superman guys, right? We're Superman guys. Yeah, first and foremost, I'm like, oh well. Okay, he's dead. Let's move on. Batman's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, let's just focus on Batman now.
Well, that's what they're going to do with all this. Because every movie, like we were saying, has been a response to the previous movie. Superman Returns led to Man of Steel being the way it was. Man of Steel being the way it was led to this being the way it was. So they're going to react somehow. Now, Suicide Squad and Wonder Woman are already in the can, so they can't change their course there.
Yeah.
But all the other ones, I think, are in question at this point.
I wouldn't be surprised if Justice League gets delayed.
I don't know, man. They might as well. They just got to stay the course.
Well, I read today that they said Justice League is going to be a little bit more lighter. They said Ezra Miller's Flash is going to be a little bit of a comic.
What grunge Flash over there?
What, can he shave and lose the man bun, please? I do not like Ezra.
I already hate Ezra Miller.
And his armor Flash suit.
I read that he bulked up for the role. Where? Where
did he bulk up? It all went to his ponytail.
Look, I think Jason Momoa? Huh? What's his name?
Cal Drogo? Hey, Roman Reigns.
He's going to be an awesome Aquaman. Cyborg is such a blank slate as a character. They can do whatever they want with him. Gal Gadot has already been proven that she's going to be awesome as Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Green Lantern, we'll see if we even get there at this point. Flash, I love the Flash TV show.
Grant Gustin, all the way.
They could have just left Flash out of the movies, right? I mean, or used Wally West or something. Why use Barry Allen and have him look nothing like when I saw a picture of Ezra Miller, I'm like, he's going to be the Flash. I'm like, okay, they can probably give him a shave, dye his hair, give him a haircut, who maybe can look like Barry Allen. They didn't do any of that. They just called Ezra Miller in on his day off to get some security camera footage of him. So I don't know. Bottom line, I'm with you, Krause. I'm more excited about all the other characters in Superman, which is a shame because I think Henry Cavill does a great job.
Yeah.
And he looks the part, but I think he hasn't been given a whole lot to work with.
Yeah, sadly.
He's like LeBron on the Cavs.
Oh, man. So if you guys had to give Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice a letter grade, what would you give it? We'll start with you, Lance. We'll go around.
I'll give it a B.
All right.
I'll give it a B
because I liked it, but I could see that there's things wrong with it. But I liked it.
Okay. Krause?
I would give it a solid C.
Solid C.
Solid C.
Wow. Solid C for cynical.
All right, about you, DeMonte?
A. I probably loved it.
A?
A?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's in probably top 10 of my favorite comic movies. I thought it was that good.
Is your favorite comic movie still Dark Knight Rises?
I don't know. Maybe Challenge now. Who knows?
By this?
No. I'm starting to go back to Batman Begins as being the definitive.
As you should. He's coming around. He's coming around, boys.
I like the risks they took in it. They didn't play it safe. I like that. And the mythology, the politics, and the religious overtones I thought were awesome. Yeah, it's an A for me.
Man, for me, I'm going to give it a hesitant B minus.
Really?
I mean, yeah, I feel bad giving it a C+ because I like so much of it, but then other things were just like, I feel like B- is a nice compromise for me. I'm going to hover around B- for now, and I'm going to see it again at some point and then see what I think. But I really liked, and that's why it's a frustrating movie for me because I really like a lot of parts of it, but I really don't like a lot of other parts. And I just feel like the problem isn't, it's not the acting, it's not the directing. I feel like the problem is the story. Like, they just tried to cram too much in, like, sequel bait with the Justice League and then Death of Superman at the end of this movie. Like, they should have focused this movie on truly Batman versus Superman, you know? And then, I don't know, maybe put Lex Luthor in a battle suit at the end and they fight him. Because
there is a toy of it, you know.
Yeah, you can't trust them. Look, we all know from Batman Returns, you can't trust those damn toys.
Nope.
Dead Robin.
Yeah, one of my favorite toys as a kid is Robin.
Is the Robin? Because that was an awesome Robin.
It's the Damon Wayne's Robin.
Real quick question, what's the aggregate score if you were to average them out? We have a C, an A, and two Bs.
So you gave it a solid B, Lance. So yeah. B, B minus. So I think the average score would be a B then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That seems about right, because this is not in my top 10. Like, sorry.
It's better than anything Marvel, according to Mike DeMonte.
Yeah, do you really think that, DeMonte?
Yeah, I do. Think, why?
So DeMonte sent us a text.
No, like, it's your own opinion. Go ahead.
It's better than anything Marvel's ever done, bro.
No, I'm not even being like an anti-Marvel guy. I like Marvel films, but I really think they take a lot of, they get passes for so much stuff they do, and every time DC tries something serious, I mean, look, Civil War is mimicking the more serious tone. It's almost very similar plot-wise.
I think that's going to be bad.
Really?
Huh?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be good.
But it's got Captain America, so I'm going to love it. Bottom line, look, I hate to be this guy, for real. If Superman was more like Captain America, I would love all these Superman movies a lot more. Bottom line.
I agree.
Because Chris Evans' Captain America is... like the Christopher Reeve Superman of the modern era. I mean, he is. Well, cool, guys. Well, I feel like I'm working through my thoughts and my feelings on this. This is a movie we wanted to see our whole lives, you know. So there was a lot of anticipation and expectation going into this. Despite all the negative reviews, I went into it with an open mind, and I still have an open mind. I'm interested to see how it holds up on repeat viewings. I'm definitely gonna get the extended cut, which is ridiculous that we even have to like wait 6 months or whatever to see the version that was originally intended. Mm-hmm. I just bought the Rogue Cut, by the way, the other day for X-Men Days of Future Past. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
It's the extended Bryan Singer director's cut. You know, where the hell is our director's cut of Superman Returns?
Yeah, no kidding.
Was that $10 million Return to Krypton scene you deleted from the film, Bryan Singer?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how it holds up. And this is not extinguished my interest in the DC Cinematic Universe. I know all the haters out there are going to be like, it's over, man. Blow it all up. There's only one solution.
Blow it up.
To quote Mad Stan from Batman Beyond. But, I'm really looking forward to Suicide Squad. I think Jared Leto is going to be awesome. And all the whole Batman world, I just can't wait to delve into with all that. So there we have it. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. It's here. The speculation is over. Now we just sit back, relax, and enjoy all the internet's reaction to it, because it's going to be quite a show. All right, guys. Well, thanks for being on the show.
No problem.
Lance, if they want to find you on the internet, where can they find you?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on Twitter.
All right. What about you, Krause?
I am on Twitter. My handle is Papakin, PAPAKIN.
And DeMonte, you're the most legit of all of us. Where can they find you online?
Yeah, right. At Twitter, at Mike DeMonte, MikeDamante, or blog.cron.com/MiKed. I do a blog about music and pop punk and emo, and yeah.
Awesome. If you want to find me personally, I am at MoronZach, MoreOnZach. And for the show, we are at Always Mallville, that's with one S, Always Mallville on Twitter. We're at Always Hold On to Smallville on Facebook. And we are at Always Mallville, one S, at gmail.com if you want to send us an email. We had so much fun talking about this here on this podcast. We're about to go to DeMonte's birthday party and talk about it some more.
I'm looking forward to that. I really am.
So, yeah, that's the after party. So that's for our ears only. But hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. And, you know, when as Superman things come out, it's a logical thing to talk about. Smallville is a Superman show. So we're going to have these Superman specials from time to time. I guess we're not going to do that Superman sequel. But I guess when Justice League comes out, I guess that qualifies. So, do you think they're going to leave Snyder to direct Justice League?
No.
You think they'd take him off?
I think they'd take him off at the very least.
You know what they should do? You know who should do it, right?
Who?
George Miller.
He
was gonna do it.
The way I'm getting excited about it.
George Miller was gonna direct Justice League back in 2007, but Christopher Nolan didn't let him do it. So blame your boy Christopher Nolan. Although he would have had Armie Hammer's Batman, so I don't know how that would have gone. But
Armie Hammer would have looked like Jim Aparo drawn Batman.
That's true. That's true. Oh, you know what? Speaking of, so I think Affleck was like the Frank Miller Batman come to life, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Although, yeah, there is one particular scene, and we'll wrap it up here, but that reminded me about Frank Miller. The nuclear missile scene, where Superman gets shot by the nuclear missiles and he's all skeletal and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't really like that. Because in Dark...
Oh, I love that.
But in Dark Knight Returns, it was so cool. It was like, man, he's a skeleton, and it's real creepy. And this is like, oh, look, it's CGI zombie Henry Cavill, and he's going to heal slowly in the sun, just like he did in Superman Returns and when he's in space.
I thought it was pointless because they pretty much killed him twice.
That's true. See what they did?
Oh, that's true.
They did the Superman Returns thing. We're like, oh, he's almost dead, but now he's back, right? It's like, but at least this time, he didn't fight Doomsday with a shard of kryptonite in his side. Yeah. God, pay attention, Bryan Singer. More conversation to come in our after party. So,
okay.
Once again, we'll be back to our regularly scheduled Smallville discussion in our next episode. Until then, always hold on to Smallville.